Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update, and then our study in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, titled, "And Increased in Number Daily." The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at bbfohio.com. As we now begin, this is part 1 of 2.
The current events update. I thought you'd be interested in this. I purchased a God Bless the USA King James Bible for the church library.
Nice.
The apostate Laodicean Christians, along with all the other Christ-rejecting fools in our country, just about lost their minds. Lee Greenwood put this out. He then went in conjunction with Donald Trump, because if you're a smart salesperson, that's what you'd do. But they made a huge deal about this. Zondervan, who owns the rights to the NIV, is owned by HarperCollins and publishes the Satanic Bible right along with the NIV. They refused to allow Lee to use the NIV. And I say that's an answer to prayer. So he used the King James Version for it. And if you look, you open the thing up, it's just nothing but a regular old Bible, except at the end, they put these horrible documents back here. One called the Declaration of Independence. Horrible. And then after that's the Constitution.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it's hard to pronounce these words since we're never taught about them in school. And the news media and the History Channel, they'd hardly ever even mention them. Okay, then there's this thing called, I thought it was a fella. It's the Bill of Rights. It's not a person. The Bill of Rights and the Pledge of Allegiance, which should say, "I pledge allegiance to the democracy for which it stands." And sadly, it says, "to the Republic." That's all it is. And they just had a fit over that. And when the left-wingers and liberals have a fit over something, you can guarantee I'm going to probably support it.
Amen.
9 times out of 10 anyway. Because they're stupid.
Amen.
Number one, Israel at war. Today is 4/14/24, and some of you might have stayed up and watched The Late Show last night. It's day 190. There's still 133 hostages that remain. And in Israel, the last I heard, the headline was, "Israel exhales after fending off Iranian attack with Iron Dome and help of allies." Ginny and I were home and having a little fun being grandma and grandpa. Little rugrats running around the house and acting crazy. And we were having a good time. Then all of a sudden, I get this notification on my phone, and it's telling us that hundreds of drones and missiles are heading for Israel. So I sent out to some of you, you might have got it, a prayer alert, just something to pray about. This is what they woke up to. Is in the middle of the night. It's like 1 a.m. in Israel.
Sounded just before 2 a.m. Hundreds of drones and missiles hurtling towards Israel.
Yo!
In the Yam HaMelach!
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's right over my house.
The panicked public rushing to take shelter. As Iranian state television confirmed Operation True Promise had begun.
He's rambling on about them, what they did.
In total, the IDF says Iran fired more than 300 projectiles, 170 drones, 120 ballistic missiles, and 30 cruise missiles. Israel says 99% of them were intercepted, some by US and British forces. But they couldn't stop them all.
Tonight, wide-scale attack by Iran is a major escalation. A number of Iranian missiles fell inside Israeli territory, causing minor damage to a military base with no casualties. Only one little girl has been hurt, and we hope she will be well.
By morning, the orders to take shelter were cancelled, and it was clear Israel had avoided any major damage. But the risk of escalation is now higher than ever.
המערכה הזאת עדיין לא הסתיימה. אנחנו צריכים להיות ערניים וקשובים להנחיות צה"ל, להוראות פיקוד העורף, ולהיערך לכל תרחיש. יחד עם זה,
Iran's mission to the UN saying the attacks were conducted on the strength of Article 51 of the UN Charter pertaining to legitimate defense in response to the Zionist regime's aggression against our diplomatic premises in Damascus. The matter can be deemed concluded. However, should the Israeli regime make another mistake, Iran's response will be considerably more severe. But for days, Israel has vowed to respond to any Iranian attacks on its soil with a direct attack on Iranian soil.
קבעתי עיקרון ברור. מי שפוגע בנו, אנחנו פוגעים בו. אנחנו נגן על עצמנו מול כל איום, ונעשה זאת בקור רוח ובנחישות.
Military leaders meeting through the night to coordinate a response. As US President Joe Biden cut short a weekend away, for urgent talks with his national security team. In a statement saying, I've just spoken with Prime Minister Netanyahu to reaffirm America's ironclad commitment to the security of Israel. Tomorrow, I will convene my fellow G7 leaders to coordinate a united diplomatic response to Iran's brazen attack. On the streets of Tehran, there appeared to be little concern for what could come next. Iran has considered Israel a sworn enemy for decades, but never has it launched a direct attack on Israeli soil until today.
امشب مردم خواب رو به خودشون حرام کردن تا بیان اینجا و بفهمونن که این جنگ برای ما چقدر مهمه و خوشحالیم از این حمله به کشور اسرائیل.
One night pushing an entire region into uncharted waters. Claudia Farhart, SBS World News.
It's never happened in your lifetime that Iran has directly attacked Israel as it has. Just a couple of shots from there is the Gallant who heads up their military. This campaign is not over yet. That's one of the key things. Already some people are saying, oh, wow. Glad that's over. It's not over yet. Netanyahu said, we have determined a clear principle. Whoever harms us, we will harm them. We will defend ourselves against any threat and will do so level-headedly and with determination. Now, reactions from Israel thus far, this is an official site of the government of Israel. The IDF said, quote, together, with a defense coalition of international partners, we achieved a successful interception of 99% of aerial threats launched by Iran. Some of you don't remember this, but when Iron Dome, which is what they used to protect themselves, was being implemented, the United Nations and most of the nations there fought that tooth and nail because they knew that this is what would happen, that they wouldn't be able to penetrate and attack Israel with the ease that they would otherwise. Here's another short report.
Before we get onto that, what involvement was there from your allies, in particular the US and the UK? Because we understand the Royal Air Force was on an operation in the region at the time.
Matt, I don't want to talk on their behalf. I think it's, we each have our own seat at the table. I think over the last 6 months, there's been a lot of coordination. And we saw the head of the US CENTCOM here over the last few days. I would say ironing out the details in order to be prepared for Iran's attack, and it just worked perfectly. I think it's probably unprecedented in the nature of modern warfare and this type of rocket standoff attacks that we experienced, how it worked so well. 99% interception rate is extremely high, but it's because we all worked together.
And what coordination, Lieutenant Colonel, was there as well with your Arab partners and allies in the region?
So I won't go into specifics. Of course, there is great opportunities, strategic opportunities, in facing the diabolical intentions of Iran together, because Iran has only proven through the last 6 months and extensively in the last 24 hours of their ill intention, their will to destabilize the region. And that is why there is a very strong, I would say, strong message to Iran.
I want to clarify this for you. You might be surprised that Egypt spoke out against it. You might be surprised that Saudi Arabia actually participated in helping shoot those things down. What you shouldn't be surprised about those things, because in Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38, they're among the nations that are not a part of the confederation with Russia. And I didn't have time to include it here, but Putin is sounding off and starting to rattle the sabers, as they say. And so I don't think Israel's going to pass up this opportunity to punch Iran in the face. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think they have a right to do that. But if they do, that could take this to a whole nother level that we haven't seen in our lifetime. And of course, we're watching for the escalation into the Ezekiel 38 Gog Magog scenario. But just so you understand the world we live in, I mean, our own news media is a joke. But in other countries, it's a whole different world, like Iran and North Korea and places like that. They're not even on the same planet we're living on. And Iran and other anti-Israel countries, they woke up to images of severe damage in Israel. This is just one example. They showed this picture and said it was a massive explosion with unknown numbers of Jews being killed in Israel and everything. The reality? On the left, Iranian state media claiming this footage from an Iranian missile which hit Israel. On the right is the same footage from a fire in Chile in February. So you can go look it up. That image is from a fire in Chile, which is in South America. I mean, Biden probably thinks it's on the border of Israel, but it's not. And it has nothing to do with this war. That's the kind of propaganda that these people in these countries are being, you know, fed. So now, with prayer, we wait for Israel's response to see where this is going to go. And we continue to say, we stand with Israel. Period. God's children stand with Israel.
Amen.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And I want to say this again. I get a little bit involved in the banter on Twitter and stuff. And people are like, yeah, you evangelicals love the Jews so much that you want two-thirds of them to be destroyed so your Jesus can come back. And it's like a Jewish prophet prophesied that two-thirds would be killed. Evangelicals, as they like to call us, we didn't have anything to do with that. We don't even say we want that. We're just saying we believe that this book is true. We believe if it says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We're calling on Jews to be saved so they can avoid being a part of that number.
Amen.
3 million Jews could be saved and be raptured out. That just means that number just went down. There'll still be two-thirds of who's left, but the number would go down.
Amen.
That's all that means. But these people are so filled with hate, and it's not about you. They hate Jesus.
Amen.
They hate the Bible, and that's why they're against the Jews. That's why they're against Israel, and that's why they're against you if you stand for Israel, because they have a devil in them.
Amen.
Don't forget that. Number two, meanwhile, Satan's children are busy mocking Bible prophecy, even that doesn't have anything to do directly with Israel. This is another date setter. Has come out and said that the biblical prophecy claims the rapture is coming April 23rd. No, it does not. There's no prophecy telling you the date of the rapture. But every time one of these nuts come out, they get the headlines and sell their books or whatever they're hawking. But up at the top, this godless granny, complete with her sodomite flags and everything. For those who missed the rapture on April 8th, there's another one coming in 2 weeks. Be ready for what does she say? Be ready this time. And there was no chance of the rapture. I told you April 8th, there wasn't going to be a rapture, because the rapture is going to happen when in an hour you think not.
Right.
And so it wasn't going to happen then. Another guy says this, I can only do like one rapture a month. Thank you very much. That's funny. Sadly, though, is what they're doing is they're conditioning themselves to not take the rapture seriously.
Right.
That's what's happening. And one last one here, somebody named Toast. It's nearly time. Everyone got their rapture outfits ready? See, every time somebody predicts the rapture, then all these scoffers come out and say, this is what I'm wearing for the rapture. And they show whatever they're wearing, like, and they put on crazy outfits and things. It's all mockery and scoffing. So first, you ignore the fact that the Bible says you can't know the date of the rapture. They're responsible themselves for knowing God's word. Do you know that? So all these mockers and scoffers, they have Bible apps. They've got Bibles at every dollar store in America. Bibles in all the English and Western states for, you know, more than ever in human history. They don't care. That's why they don't read their Bible. They don't know their Bible because they don't care. Then they use the false predictions as your excuse for rejecting Christ and mocking the rapture. What you have a responsibility to know, you don't know, and then you mock the Bible based on your own ignorance. That's what they're doing. Real quick, I just want you to go over there with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verses 1 through 4 starts with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Read 3 and 4 with me. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So every time someone comes up and scoffs about the rapture, just tell them, you are a fulfillment of prophecy. God said scoffers like you were going to be showing up in the last days and saying, oh, where's the rapture? You've been saying that for years. That's exactly the, I mean, that's what the words are that come out of their mouths. So it's an amazing book, isn't it? Not only foretells us what's about to happen, but even tells us about the people who are going to come along and mock it. Amen, amen. So be informed, pray accordingly. Amen? All right. As you can see, we're in Acts 16. We're going to read the first five verses. The title refers to how we closed the study and increased in number. So we begin our study in Acts 16 with Paul's second missionary journey. And we're going to see in Derbe and Lystra. We'll talk more about that when we come to it here in a second. But let's read verses 1 through 5, and I'll have you do the odd verses. So start right there with verse 1 with me. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Amen? So Paul picks up Timothy and rides the circuit. So we'll see introduction to Timothy in verses 1 and 2. Then Timothy's adult concision, verse 3, and then the gospel circuit in verses 4 and 5. Let's start right here with Paul, you call, separated from Barnabas. They had a falling out over John Mark. And so Paul is traveling through Syria and Cilicia with Silas, and now he picks up what becomes a lifelong friend. And that's our introduction to Timothy. There in verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So Paul is retracing his steps that we've seen already in our previous studies during his first missionary journey, and he returns to the region where he's already been, Derbe and Lystra. And we look at the map, that's up in modern-day Turkey. And I don't know how well you can see it, but most of you have maps in your Bibles or have access to maps, and you can see they're kind of all, it's a region, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and that's all in Lyconia. And that region is kind of like we think of, well, I grew up in Wheelersburg, Ohio. It's in southern Ohio right on the river, but it was only a short drive to go across the bridge into Kentucky, and only another 30 minutes or so to go to Huntington, West Virginia. And small towns, not a big, not like Columbus, anything like it. So we had TV stations. There were when growing up anyway, there were three, and they covered all three of those sections of those states, called it the tri-state area. And you know, I grew up knowing what was going on in West Virginia and Kentucky just because of where I live. And to this day, it's the same way. Then I moved to Cincinnati, and they kind of had the same thing going on with Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio, right there in the corner where Cincinnati was. And that's the way our Bible, a lot of times, will throw cities together like that, especially when they're in close proximity, because that was just kind of like now. I say, I live in outside of the town. I'm actually in a different county. I'm in Madison County. But when people ask me where I live, there's a lot of times I'll just say Columbus, Ohio, so that they have an idea where I'm at. So if you can make those kind of associations as you're studying your Bible, it kind of helps you get your mind around what's happening and where they're at and what's going on. Also, we've talked about how some names of towns and cities change. That helps you remember things like Salem becomes Jerusalem. It's also known as Jebus. So you make those associations, you know they're talking about the same place over time. And when it comes to these towns, you won't find hardly anything if you go there now. And there's been very little archaeological digging, even though there's possibly a treasure trove there, but that's what happens when Muslims take over. They block you. There's a place that I believe is probably Ararat, but they won't. Saudi Arabia won't let anyone in, and so people have snuck in there and that kind of thing and found some evidence. But they have it all gated and fenced off, so you can't get up there and all that. So again, verse 1, it says that this Timotheus is his big. Now, people make a big deal of the fact that this is Timothy. If he were in a room today, we'd probably call him Tim. When he's a little kid, he's probably called Timmy. But he's called Timotheus and Timothy in the scripture. Same person. And I've talked to people who just make a big deal about the fact, well, the Bible's so hard to understand. You don't even know who you're talking about. Timotheus and Timothy? Really? You have a problem with that? I'm going to make you all, from now on, call me Pastor Gregory. Pastor Gregory. Gregory's my full name. I'm fine with Greg. And until her dying day, my grandmother called me my little Greggy. I had no problem with that from her, but don't try it here. I don't want to hear there. But Timothy was half Jew and half Greek, which is why we're going to find out he wasn't circumcised yet, because his dad was a Greek. His mom was a Jewess. That means that he was a Gru or a Jeek. I don't know which, you know, if you're half Jew and half Greek, you're a Gru or a Jeek. I'm not sure. But one thing is for certain, he's a respected young man with integrity. How many of you know that all that talk about how kids have to sow their wild oats, that's hogwash? You don't have to. Now, have most of us in this room been guilty? Yes. But it was sinful. It wasn't something you have to do. Timothy evidently was one of the exceptions to the rule that we see today. In verse 2 it says, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He was well known in the area and he had a good reputation. If you had gone to southern Ohio, especially Wheelersburg where I grew up, If you'd gone there up until about 1984, and I was well known, I was a pretty popular kid in school and all that, and my family was pretty well known just because I have a lot of good, decent relatives. I've always felt sorry for the kids that I knew that were well known because they had drunks and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, in their family. I didn't know what that was like. In my family, I was surrounded by the cream of the crop. If you'd said, you know that Greg Miller? Oh yeah, he's a good kid. That's a good kid right there. Something happened. Around the age of 15, I'll give it maybe even 14, but by the time I was 15, things had changed. Part of it was my fault. Part of it was false accusations. I was falsely accused of doing something when it comes to drugs. And I'll just give you in a nutshell, I was talked into going out with some guys to a basketball game, and it wasn't until I got...